This is a day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad that we live in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. You see, this is Memorial Day. Now, I recognize that many will be out, maybe at the lake, maybe the mountains. Possibly they will be at the amusement park. Some will be in the backyard with their picnic grill, enjoying freedom. Aren't you glad you live here? You know, this is Memorial Day tomorrow, Memorial Weekend. And as we think about it, let's not forget. Let's not forget that our freedom is possible because of others. Others. See, in the midst of this celebration, let's not forget the brave who have given their lives, literally, in order that we and others may have freedom. Remember, their blood is in the valley, in there at Valley Forge. It is also has been spilt at Gettysburg. And remember that the ocean waters that washed upon Normandy's shore stained with blood, as was the sands of Iwo Jima as it was stormed by the Marines. The blood turned the white snow to a drastically looking pink on Pork Chop Hill in Korea. And the jungles of Vietnam for over a decade drank the blood. And the deserts of Iraq and Afghanistan have soaked up the blood of the brave. You know, we dare not forget. We dare not forget. We must never forget that when duty called, they gave all. And those who didn't came back many times injured for life. Our young men and women still continue to give their lives in service for our country. The death rate, of course, for our military has greatly been reduced in recent years. Yet, hardly a week, isn't that right? Hardly a week will go by when we do not read about one of our servicemen having died in the line of duty, either helping someone or in combat. You see, the threat of death and injury is not over. And listen, folks, it will never be over as long as freedom is to be defended. Never. Never. You see, today we enjoy freedom. Freedom that is unknown in most parts of the world. Let's face it. See, our freedom is a result of those who willingly sacrificed all. People from every country of the world come to America. And if they can't get here, they want to come here because of its reputation for what? Freedom. Freedom and opportunity that may be theirs. These freedoms, these opportunities, they're ours and theirs as well because of the men and women who were willing to leave the comfort and the security of their homes and face uncertainty, dangers, hostilities, and possibly even death. They did it. Many, of course, did not return. Some of you have been impacted by that. Some of you were part of those forces and know what I'm talking about. They died while serving. See, Memorial Day is designated as a day dedicated to their memory. We do not pray for the dead, as some do. However, we do remember, do we not? We remember them and thank God for their life, their service, and their sacrifice. We thank God. Now, will you stand with me as Pastor Steve leads us in prayer of thanks and for America?
Amen. For our country, Lord. And I thank you for the blood that they shed, Lord, that we can have freedoms that we have, that we can assemble together peacefully, Lord, and we can proclaim the word of God on our nation freely, Lord. And I thank you for those rights, and I thank you for the family members who gave their all, Lord. And I pray for them now. I pray that you would be with them and you would strengthen them. For many now, Lord, are have this memorial service, this memorial weekend, and they remember somebody who has passed. I think of my uncle that died in Korea, Lord. I think about my friends, Lord, who have died in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I pray for their families now.
Yes.
And I pray that you just be with them. And I pray that you would strengthen them. And we give thanks to you, Lord. We give thanks for their sacrifice and how it points us, Lord, to the ultimate sacrifice
yes.
of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That he shed his blood so that we would have freedom from sin and be a part of your kingdom.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And just a plug for a Memorial Day service at Mount Vernon there in Citrus Heights area is one of the best that I know of. Memorial Day was originally, as I've already indicated, designated to honor those who died in war. However, you and I know that they're not the only ones that will be remembered, right? They're not the only one. Many, and maybe some of you, will travel to the cemetery in order to pay respects to the one you loved. And for a few moments, just kind of reflect upon their life and what it meant to you. While preparing this message, I traveled back in my mind to some of the people who had impacted my life greatly and still have an influence. Because as someone has said, the dead still live. In a way, they live in the lives of those they touched. I remember my mom and dad, my wife, Joni, the first pastor I met in California, B.G. Perry, who's now long gone, whom I consider my father in the ministry. And two special ladies, Sunday school teachers, when I was like this. And they used to call Mrs. Campbell and Mrs. Sloan their preacher boys. Most of us here today have family and friends who have died and they meant a lot to you. Is that right? They meant a lot to you. And each one special, and they're special in your life, bringing to your mind what they meant to you. See, memories that last a lifetime. There's one such memory I'd like to personally share with you. It comes with a penetrating question that kind of illustrates what we're going to be sharing this morning. That penetrating question came from a 5-year-old as we were there at the cemetery for the burial of his father. Bill, the father, was a devoted Christian and a personal friend and a member of our church in South San Francisco. Now, Bill has served as a Navy SEAL in Vietnam. Bill and Judy, his wife, met at First Baptist Church in San Francisco. Now, Bill was already in his 40s when they got married. So when Billy came along, you know he was up in years. And Bill and Billy were very close as father and son. And Billy was very close to Joni and me. Because, see, Judy, his mother, would not go back to work unless Joni agreed to take care of him. So for 2.5 years, Billy was like a grandson to us. Bill had that stroke. 10 days later, he died. He's gone just that quick. His body was cremated. And we were at the cemetery for the burial of his remains. And Judy, his wife, and the other family members, they're all kind of gathered around this little box that looks like a casket that holds his remains. And they're wiping it as if to polish it. Well, Billy is standing with Joni holding her hand, and he's observing what's taking place, and so he asks, he looks up at Joni and says, "Where's my dad? Where's my dad?" And Joni says, "He's in the little box." Can you imagine his surprise? And his response was, "My dad was a big man. Did they cut him up?" 5 years old. So Joni says, "Go talk to Pastor Neely." So he, along with two of his cousins who are almost the same age, they come running over. And with the question, "Where's my dad?" Well, I responded with another question, and I asked them, I said, "What happens to a house when it burns?" And one of them immediately, not Billy, but one of the cousins immediately responded, "Well, it turns to ashes." I said, "Yes." And I says, "Bill, your father, the body was his house. But the house has never now been born or burned, but his spirit keeps living, continues to live." Now, that's all I said. They turned and left. They were satisfied for the moment. But the question will come again, "Where is my dad? Where is my dad?" Could we be honest for a moment? Isn't that often the question that you asked relating to your friends or family members who have died? Where are they right now? Where are the dead? Now, yes, we know the cemetery where they're buried, and we may know the place on the mantle where the urn holding their ashes is situated. But we're still haunted. Haunted by the question, where is the person? Where is the person that I loved and knew? Where are they? Is he or she still aware? Do they know what's going on? Are they suffering or are they rejoicing? What is the situation of those who have been killed in tornadoes earthquakes, floods, airplane crashes, auto accidents, or young people who died of cancer, old people who just got too old? Where is the spirit? Where are the spirits of the dead on this Memorial Day? Where are they? Well, the Hindus have an idea. And the Hindus say, well, they're somewhere in the process of reincarnation. That is, becoming a different being or creature. It's entirely possible they may become a bug or an animal. Or higher up. The Mormons? Well, in one of their several heavens on the way to becoming a god. Because remember, like I am, God once was, like God is, I am becoming. The Jehovah's Witness, all non-believers, just annihilated, ceased to exist, no longer are. Believers, that is Jehovah's Witness believers, are awaiting their assignment. Remember the assignment. It's either going to be with the 144 or on the renewed earth. Catholics speak of purgatory, a place that's in between heaven and here. Most of them think, yes, it's going to be heaven here. Now, the worst of them already in trouble. But those in purgatory can possibly get out with the help of the prayers and the gifts of others. It's a place for cleansing. Preparation for heaven. Well, now, since we're in church, a Baptist church no less, maybe we might ask, well, does the Bible have anything to say about it? What do you think? What do you think? Does the Bible have anything to say about where the dead are? Well, it does. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the dead are in one of two places. Just one of two. Now, no in between. No rest stops along the way. It's just one or two places. Now, the dead, according to the scripture, are either separated from God or with God. Separated from or with God. Now, don't try to get me to explain all the details about heaven and hell. But I want to tell you that the scripture says that's the two places. That's the two places. So the dead are either in heaven or hell. And you see, that's the reason I point up for heaven. Hell, I don't know exactly what the location is. And I'm not one of these guys who's a prophet that has all the answers. I don't. But I do know what the Bible says. In Luke 16, Jesus is telling of the terrors and the reality of hell. And in that passage, he tells a story that a man, two, have died. One went to the bosom of Abraham and the other went to hell. And it says that he cried out asking for relief while in hell. Listen to what he says. He said, Father Abraham, he said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Cool off my tongue. That sounds pretty hot. For I am in agony in this place. The terrible reality of hell is it's not a comfortable place to be. And I don't know too many people that want to go there. Do you? Oh, we hear that term all the time, don't we? Go to hell. Listen, they don't have any idea what they're talking about. None. and nobody wants to go to heaven. Most people already know, or they at least think they're going to heaven. But you see, this place of terrible punishment is also a place of separation from all that is good. That's what Jesus says. He also, in response to that request for help from Abraham, listen to what he says. Between us, that is between us who are talking about Abraham and the man who was in his bosom, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed. And the word note fixed means it's not going to change. So that those who wish to come over from us or from here to you will not be able. And that none may cross over from there to us. It's fixed. Either heaven or hell. So those who are suffering in the torment of hell are fixed there. It's eternal separation. You see, Jesus describes this place as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a very pretty picture at all. But the Bible also says that hell is reserved and designed for the devil and his angels, not for you. Did you hear me? It's not for you, but it's for the devil and his angels. However, the Bible clearly says it's also the place for the non-believers, for the non-believer when he or she dies. See, hell is the final destination for those who reject Jesus as Lord and Savior. Listen to these words of Jesus in Matthew 25. He said, then he will also say to those on the left. Now you remember that story where he's talking about the judgment. Those on the left, depart from me. Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Note that he said prepared for the devil and his angels. And then he goes on to say this, and these will go away to eternal punishment. Never ending. No wonder Jesus said, tell the people, let them know. On the other hand, listen to this. Heaven is reserved for those who believe and trust in Christ. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. Charlie read it a moment ago, but I want to read it again. For we know. Note that word. It didn't say we hope for, maybe so. No. He says, for we know. Do you know in John, 1 John, he said we can know? Listen, if you don't know this morning, for absolute certainty that when death knocks on your door that you're going to heaven, let's don't leave without settling it, okay? Don't leave without settling it. Because we can know. We can know for certain. That's what he says. We know that if this earthly tent, which is our home, our house, is turned or burned down, torn down, we have a building from God. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no need to fret, no need to worry, for see, the security is sure. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says about this home. And remember, it said over here that hell was prepared for who? You remember? The devil and his angels. But I want you to listen closely to John 14, verse 1 to 6. Listen. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you." Now listen to this. "I go to prepare a place for you." Did you hear that? God sent Jesus into the world that he might be your Redeemer and Savior. And now he's going back to build a special home just for you. Just for you. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And Thomas, he said, "And you know the way, and the way where I'm going." But it's possible someone here is like Thomas. Thomas, one of the disciples, and this was his response, and it may be yours, said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Now listen to this. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." See, that's the way to heaven. That's the way to the prepared home for the believer. Now, you and I may wonder and speculate about the destiny of family members who have died or friends who have died. But we must be honest with ourselves this morning, because the real question for you today, where will you be? Where will you be when you die? In heaven or in hell? Listen, God loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to live with him. You say, "Well, Pastor, how in the world do you know that?" Because the Bible told me. John 3:16 says, and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to what? Save." Oh, listen. God loves you, and he wants you to live forever with him. Today is your day. Today is your day that you can repent. You see, the Bible says heaven is real for those who are willing to repent of their disbelief, the sin of disbelief. You know, we can get hung up on so much of the things that are the result of sin and forget that the great sin is disbelief in Jesus as Lord and Christ. So we must repent and turn from our disbelief and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. See, today is your day. Did you know that? Today is your day. That's the reason that we can say this is a day. This is a day to make sure that heaven is your eternal home. This is a day. This is a day of joy and gladness. Joy and gladness. Today you can have certainty, assurance in your heart. Today you may be absolutely certain that you will be in heaven when you die. You can make certain right now. And there's no need to wait, because Jesus came to earth the Bible says that up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, went my Savior. Blind and unheeding, he was bleeding, dying for you, and for me, in order that you may be free. Because the truth is, Jesus came for you. Father, touch our hearts. Bring us, Lord, into your kingdom awareness in Jesus' name.